Thanks, Justin. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us this morning, for giving up your time to listen to what we've got to say. Look, we're certainly, as a group, we're excited about the series ahead against a strong South African side, a side that's ranked above us. As you know, we're currently ranked 7, and South Africa's ranked 5 and 4 in both the T20s and ODIs. So we know we're up against some stiff opposition with some very good players, but we're certainly excited about challenging ourselves in playing against this particular group. All players are all fit and well. There are a couple of little niggles, but nothing that rules anybody out. And certainly the players have had some good preparation time. We've had some reasonable training sessions in Durban. The first couple were in small groups of 5 and 6 the first couple of days. We had a full-on training session yesterday in Pietermaritzburg as a whole group. So everyone's say looking forward to what lies ahead, and certainly from my own personal point of view, I'm also excited to see the players play now. We've been playing back in Pakistan since the middle of October, so it's about feels about the right time where we can match ourselves against female opposition from another country.
Thank you, David. So now we'll start taking the questions. I just want to ask all of those who are willing to, who want to ask questions, to please mention in the chat or raise their hand. Ali, we can start with you.
David, we never won an ODI series, whether we played in South Africa or in UAE. Only one draw series with the South African team. Right now, in current situation, what is the strategy of yours to how to defeat South Africans in their homeland?
Oh, look, thanks, Harry. Look, I think they're a very good side. So, I mean, we're going to have to play very well. In terms of the strategy, if you think about T20 cricket, it's a game that challenges you because it's a game played under pressure because there's limited balls. So you have to make sure that, A, your plans are pretty clear, but more importantly, that you execute really well because of the pressure of limited balls. So in terms of a strategy, it's about us going out and playing positive cricket. Looking to take the game on, whether that's with a bat, the ball, or in the field. So what does that mean? That means, you know, if you see the ball, let it dive and stop, then dive and stop it, take the positive approach, try and take that catch, look to score off every ball that you face. And with the ball, you're looking to take wickets. So it's a positive approach to the game. For me personally, that needs to be mirrored across not just T20, but also 50 over cricket. So in terms of defeating them, they're a very good side with very good players, with match winners. You know, if you think about the recent Women's Big Bash in Australia, there was 8 representatives from South Africa playing in that competition. So their players are used to playing in these major competitions and have had experience of that over a number of years. So it will be a challenge for us, but I think from our own personal approach, and that's the important thing, it's about taking the game on and playing in a positive way, in a positive manner.
We'll now take question from Loni, then Abdullah, and then Ayush in this order.
Morning, David. This is Loni from ENCA. I missed part of your opening statement, so apologies if I'm repeating myself here, or you've okay. said this already. Just in terms of getting back to playing, I think Pakistan last played at the T20 World Cup International Cricket, that is. How much cricket have you been able to play, and how much of a challenge has it been to get things together, given what is happening at the moment? The Proteas have also had their own challenges trying to get international cricket going as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. No, Pakistan last played internationally back in the back end of the World Cup, so the T20 World Cup back in February, March. So it was a 9 or 10 month gap. I took over this role 3 months ago, and I joined the first women's camp back since lockdown in Pakistan. So that was in the middle of October. So the girls had already been on camp for 2 weeks, which I think began on the somewhere around the 6th or 7th of October. So I joined on the 19th. So that's when the girls have, fortunately, that the PCB have been very supportive of the women's game and trying to help us out as much as possible. So we had an initial camp then. We've also had a T20 domestic competition, which ran in Rawalpindi in November over a 2.5 week period. And prior to arriving in Durban, we'd been on a 3 week camp in Karachi as a group. So we have managed to get together and get players together. So we've been fortunate from that point of view. We have managed to play games amongst ourselves and against some boys teams, but obviously we haven't had any international games within that period, just like everyone else around the world. So, I mean, obviously we're in difficult times with COVID, and it makes it difficult to organise and structure tours and fixtures, but that's where we are at the moment.
Abdullah?
Morning, David. Firstly, congratulations on landing the job and good luck for your first series. Which form of the game is going to be your primary focus? Is it going to be 50 overs looking ahead to the Women's World Cup in New Zealand next year, or is it going to be 20 overs looking ahead to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham next year?
Good question. Look, for us, obviously, the first priority is June, July in Sri Lanka and the qualification for the 50 over World Cup. So on this trip, we are playing both ODIs and T20 games, and look, we're going to approach our approach is we want to win all six games, so that's pretty straightforward. But you know, we're not going to so we'll pick teams that we feel can win both those. But you know, we have been looking at obviously the 50 over competition because that's priority for us. We need to give ourselves the best opportunity qualifying in June and July in Sri Lanka for the World Cup in February in New Zealand.
Ayush.
Hi, David. So my question is, now that you'd spoken about taking the Pakistan team to the top four in the rankings, this might be your first international assignment, but having seen the players in the domestic competitions and the training camps, as you had mentioned, what has been your assessment of the team and what are the specific areas of improvement that you're looking at in the upcoming series as a pathway to the larger goal that you had mentioned?
Yeah, look, in terms of the group, I think they're a skilled group. As I've said all along, that's having watched Pakistan over the last couple of years. I first saw them back in 2018 when Australia were playing Pakistan in Malaysia, because there were some Australian players that I was coaching for in Victoria that were on that trip. So I took a close interest in that. So this, I've seen the skill level's always been there. I guess the question or challenge I have for the playing group is the consistency. So how can we become, you know, more consistent and raise our standard and expectations around how we play? So that's the sort of the main focus for us as a group. It's something that we've talked about. We want to play well, but we want to play well consistently, and that's the challenge. So it's about our performance. We track that back to training. So I think the training environment is really important to make sure that we're challenging ourselves in training. We're making the most of every training opportunity, especially now in the current situation where with COVID that you're getting limited opportunities.
Do you, David?
Sorry, welcome. Apologies for that. Yeah, look, as I said, with the focus areas, for me, the skill level's there. That's never been the question or any question that should be troubling us. It's more around the consistency in how we play. So, you know, say we try to really focus in on the training environment and making sure that we're making the most of those training opportunities, putting ourselves in match situations as much as possible. But looking at our own individual and team expectations, and the bottom line is we sit seventh at the moment. We don't want to remain at seventh. We want to get as high as we can, and that's why this series against South Africa is an important one, because it gives us a chance to gauge ourselves against a team that's ranked higher across both formats.
So the next three questions we'll be taking from Faizan Lakhani, Mohammed Suhaib, and Muzammil. Faizan, over to you.
Thanks, Hassan. David, we have already heard a lot about how these biosecure bubbles are affecting men's cricketers. What's the feeling in women cricketers' dugout? Are they equally frustrated due to these biosecure bubbles? And what are the added challenges due to these all, you know, limitation because of COVID?
Yeah, it's pretty fresh for us, I guess, because we've had camps where we have been in bubbles, but it's been I guess not as strict as some of the men's bubbles that we see in terms of that self-isolation in your room for 2 weeks, which has been obviously well documented in the men's game. So it's a little bit new for us in terms of the severity of it, if you like. This current phase that we're in at the moment in South Africa, yes, it has been, I wouldn't say challenges, but we've had to manage ourselves differently. So training in small groups, so groups of five and six with players and support staff, moving separately as groups as opposed to a whole group. But, you know, the reality is if we're to get cricket, we need to adhere to this. Unfortunately, this virus is causing problems the world over. There's people dying in the world. So we have to just make sure that we're doing the right thing and just get on with it. If we want to play cricket, then we have to give ourselves the best opportunity to make sure that we can play cricket. And unfortunately, at the moment, due to the situation, these are one of the areas that we need to address and stick to and work with.
Thanks, Essen. David, talk us through Pakistan's middle order specifically, because Bisma Maruf is not playing and, you know, middle order will obviously get a hit. So talk about Umaima Suhail, for instance, or Muniba Ali, who have been up and down the batting order since their debut, and where are they going to bat, and how important are they to Pakistan's chances?
Look, obviously you mentioned Bisma. That goes without saying that, you know, you lose your captain. It's a big loss, but not just the leadership on and off the field, but also the runs that she scores. I think the confidence that she brings to the group when she's playing. But again, yeah, that's unfortunately that's the situation we find ourselves in, and that's reality. She's not here, so. What it does do, and this is the key thing for me, it gives other people an opportunity to step up, but also gives an opportunity for new faces to appear and grab that opportunity. So, in a way, it's disappointing, but it gives us a chance to look at someone else. In terms of the players that you mentioned, yes, they're young players, they're talented players. Where they'll bat, they'll probably be top order as opposed to middle order. I think, you know, the middle order, we've got, you know, Javeri Khan, Anita Dar and Ali Riaz as sort of three, and Kena Imtiaz now coming into that group. So there's a sort of our middle order players. I see Umaima and Maniba being the top order. The young players, again, they've got ability and talent, but it's up to them now to grab the opportunity that they'll probably be handed.
Muzammil, we'll take a question from you and then we'll end with the question from Loni.
David, I just want to ask that you mentioned right here the name of Ali Riaz. Just want to know that you have been with the team for last couple of weeks. What did you feel like? I'm talking about power hitters. Like if we see South Africa, the way they play, like Australia, the way they play fast cricket, modern day cricket we talk about. So what do you think, how many players do you have who can just accelerate your score after 15 or 20 overs in T20Is and obviously like in ODIs, last over games when players come and bat fastly to raise the score?
Yeah, look, I think we have, we probably have a couple of players. You mentioned Ali Riaz. She's a very good striker of the ball. We also have Aisha Nazim, who's a good striker of the ball. So Ali is obviously a little more experienced than Aisha, as an example. So we do have players that can clear the ropes. We don't have as many as, say, some of the countries around the world. But it's more, for me, that the boundary hitting and all the power hitting is more around that that confidence in taking on the boundary and getting and hitting pockets for four, as opposed to worrying about who can hit it, you know, 15 rows back. It's, you know, your boundary count goes up with, not necessarily with power hitters, but players that execute strut shots that they boundary options that they can play very well and areas that they can target. So I think it's, I don't want to get too caught up in saying, "Oh, we need to have players that can hit the ball out of the park." Yes, of course that helps, but it's about scoring off as many balls as you can, and actually being more consistent with the execution of bad balls that you get. So we're certainly it's an area that we, as a side, probably haven't scored as many boundaries as we would like in competitions.
So it's an area that we've sort of looked at to target, and areas that we've looked to target. But yes, it does help if you got six hitters. But I still feel, you know, the players that can execute four boundary options are just as beneficial.
All right, we'll take the last question now.
Hi, David, again. So the men's Pro Tours are in Pakistan at the moment. Has any of that featured in the conversations with your players at the moment?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think it's because we've just been focused on what we're doing here. I mean, the girls they obviously are aware of what's happened, what happens in the male program, if you like, because Pakistan's got a rich history of cricket, and it is in the culture. So everyone does talk about cricket, but I think the girls have just been really focusing on what we're doing here at the moment, and what we're focusing on and what lies ahead for us.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today.